We will get back into the pro football conversation coming up at the bottom of the hour. Want to remind you that each Wednesday night, join Damian Dede Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation. Wednesday nights here on 92.9 The Game. That means as soon as I get done here tonight, Day-Day will be taking over. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and talk some college ball with one of our favorites, Bill Bender, senior writer of the Sporting News. Bill, after Bama and UGA, we know about Kirby Smart's record against Alabama. I'm not concerned about that. What I am concerned about is how big, in your opinion, does this loss loom with more big games coming up for Georgia this season?
Well, I just... Not as much as you would expect. Yes, they lost the game. Yes, there were some plays that they'd probably like to have back. This is part of like the NFL-ification, that's what I call it, of college football, where you've just got to look on to the next one. I kind of fleshed out the remaining SEC schedule this week, and my takeaway is that it's probably going to take 10 wins to get the playoffs in the SEC, and as many as five teams could win 10 games in the SEC. So there's a long way to go.
How surprised are you that from what we saw in week one to where we are now, the rise of Alabama back to the point where they're able to beat a team like Georgia?
You know, I talked to Greg McElroy last week, and he brought up the point that, you know, it might have been the humidity, might have been the heat, and it's not an excuse, but he thinks they were a little gassed in that first game, and he has a point because they do look like a different team. Ty Simpson playing very good football, right? He's not turning it over or anything like that. Ryan Williams looks like Ryan Williams. Their offensive line is good. Kalen DeBoer is a very good big game coach. You know, it's just the head scratching road losses. And, you know, but all of this is short lived in the SEC. That's another thing I think we've learned, right? That it does feel like the NFL, and that every week we're changing our mind about who the best team is. And we would change it again if Vanderbilt's able to knock off Alabama for the second straight year. Who knew that was going to be the best game of the week?
Well, right. And the thing is that you have all the other sexy intrigue of the quarterback who has been spouting his mouth off even before the season started. And I don't know if I've ever seen somebody back it up in the way that Diego Pavia has, especially considering, Bill, where he goes to school.
You know, it's got a lot, and it's popped up this week, obviously, fittingly so, that there's a little bit of Manziel there, right? Like, I was saying today, we remember Manziel beating Alabama the first time. To me, the second game was even better. Texas A&M lost, but you go back and remember, like, he's throwing to Mike Evans. I think he had, like, 500 and some total yards. A.J. McCarron was answering. One of the best games I remember watching and being excited to watch. So if Vanderbilt could get that win, again, it's another one of those games that kind of shakes up the entire SEC playoff picture. It's amazing to me that when you break that down, 2 weeks ago, you know, I had LSU and Georgia on top. Now you have like Alabama and Ole Miss and Texas A&M on top, and it just switches every week.
So we mentioned Florida State a little earlier in the chat. What do they need to do blueprint-wise to beat Miami?
Well, they better try to win up front, and that's not going to be easy. Miami has it in the trenches on both sides. Reuben Bain, Francis Malgoa. Those are first-round top five picks. Building an offensive line around those guys and defensive lines. Reuben Bain might be the best defensive player in college football. So that's number one. Castellanos has to make plays, can't turn the ball over. Carson Beck, same deal. This is a very good Miami football team, though, in the trenches. And can they go into that Doak Campbell environment? It's been a minute since we've watched Florida State at night, at home, tomahawk chop, all that stuff going on. It's going to be an interesting environment. I can't wait. It makes me feel young, like I always say, because it makes me feel like this is the closest thing in a while we've had to those great 90s games. It's not quite that, though, when you consider the number of Hall of Famers that were playing back in those games.
Yeah, we'll just call up, you know, Michael Irvin and Danny Cannell, and we'll do the whole thing all over again. Oregon, we know here because we had him in Athens. Dan Lanning is a special dude. For those who don't understand how much respect he has and how well he is commanding that program, Bill. They're brewing something special in Oregon.
He is as intense can be. He's as aggressive as can be. And I was at that game last Saturday. The way that Dante Moore handled that environment couldn't have been more impressive. Because that is in my mind, I know you guys down there would say, like Death Valley at night or Auburn, the whiteout is tough to play in, man. The crowd's worth a touchdown, like Dan Lanning said. But for them to go in and get that win and stay composed in double overtime, Dylan Thienemann to make a huge play, I think you guys know it, right? Like, so begs the question, if one of these SEC programs pops open and they want a guy like Dan Lanning, how much would it take? I don't think he's leaving Oregon, though. I think he likes the setup there and the resources, and they have more than enough to be dominant in the Big Ten for a very long time.
Yeah, I think he'd go to the NFL before he went to another power college program. Honestly, I think he has that much – he's building, I should say, that much cachet. Speaking of openings, I've been racking my brain. Is there anybody to you other than actually hanging on to Bobby Petrino, which I would be astounded if they did, that makes sense for Arkansas?
Well, I know Rhett Lashley kind of shot it down, but he's the guy, the first guy that makes sense. Former quarterback, has done a fantastic job with the Mustangs, and, you know, he's going to continue to do that. But it begs the question, is it easier to win? Arkansas's got the better stage, no question. But you can do well at SMU. He's done well there, and they've got great recruiting base and all those things, and you can – sneak in the playoff every once in a while out of the ACC. Which one's the better job? Dan Mullen's name will probably come up, you know, especially if he continues to win at UNLV. He did well at Mississippi State. Actually did well at Florida, too. So I think he's a very intriguing name as that search goes on.
Georgia Tech here. They avoided a near epic collapse against Wake Forest. They're on a bye this week. They get a pesky Virginia team after the bye. Is that another game that they should be worried about?
Yeah, I mean, and then a sneaky good game on the schedule this week is Virginia and Louisville. Louisville's a good football team. So the ACC's got plenty of hopefuls there. I think Georgia Tech, obviously, one of the best stories of September, going 5-0, the Clemson win, the win last week, where I don't know about you, but if I'm Wake, I'm kicking that extra point. I know we all say it, like hindsight of 2020, but, you know, you're at home. Why not keep that game going a little bit? Georgia Tech is going to be favored more than likely in every game they play until they get to Georgia. And imagine the excitement you guys will have down there. I know you talked about it, right? The possibility of 10-1 and 11-0 or 10-1 and 10-1.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that could match the intensity of what happened last year, Bill, as we're talking to Bill Bender, would be that, because of the way that game finished out a year ago. So Ole Miss, they've sort of vaulted themselves into maybe not even the darlings of the SEC, but one of the darlings of college football. Do they have the makings to potentially run the table?
This is the best team. And Trinidad Chambliss is a big piece of that. I mean, I don't want to say they lucked into that, but, I mean, the last 3 weeks to have a Ferris State transfer, clear 300 passing yards, give them a running element in the offense, and they were impressive. I picked LSU to win that game last week. I don't – you make fun of me about that, I guess. But, I mean, I really thought that LSU defense would limit them and Nussmeier would make a few plays. But this is a very good – and if you say they should be the highest-ranked team, and I think they're going to win the SEC championship, they've got a two-game stretch coming up in a few weeks where they play Georgia and Oklahoma. That's really it. I mean, if they get a split there, playoff.
So as we continue to look across the college football landscape, a couple of questions at this juncture in the season as we start to sort of separate who are the legit contenders and pretenders, at least for a shot at getting into the college football playoff and having a shot at the whole thing. A team that really sticks out to me a lot right now is Texas Tech, not just because they spent all the money, but because of the way that they've been 4-0, and I like the momentum that they're gaining. I just don't have the resume behind them, Bill. That's my issue, to trust that what I'm seeing right now through 4 weeks is real. How do you feel?
Well, I thought it was pretty real how they went to Utah and took care of business with their – I'm most impressed with their defense. You know, they're up front, their front seven, paid for or not. Rodriguez is a fantastic linebacker. They're good up front. And I think that's going to be a difference maker. Can they withstand the craziness that comes with being in the Big 12? That's what we'll find out. I think they can. And they're very exciting. And you mentioned NIL, but look who's in the – top 12-ish, you know, top 12. And if we did playoff rankings, they'd all be in the field. That Texas A&M, Texas Tech, they'd all be in the playoff right now. So, yeah, well, money matters a little bit, and those guys have it, and it's showing on the field.
Yeah, I guess the only question was going into it is, can money buy the necessary cohesion, right? Mm-hmm. Can you just bring a bunch of high-priced players together, put them on the field, and say, make this thing happen? But so far, so good.
Well, I think you have to have a mix, right? Like, if you're Georgia or Ohio State or Alabama, you have some built-in advantages where you're going to recruit the top players, and it's about development and getting to the league and those things. And you know, if you did, to me, it's like it's risky if you did that strategy every year where you just brought in 40 transfers, because imagine an NFL team bringing in 50 new guys every year. Eventually, they're not going to be very good. So I think there are some checks and balances to that. But in the short term, like, I always compare this to baseball. Like, if there's a mid-market team in the playoffs right now that pops in, I mean, you're not going to hear their fans. Like, I'm in Ohio. If the Reds knock off the Dodgers the next two nights, there's not a person around here that's going to complain about what their roster looks like.
Right, or their payroll is literally a third right. of the Dodgers, which is crazy to think about. Before I let you go, you obviously watched every snap of Shedeur Sanders in college. Does what he's doing now in Cleveland, now getting into antics with the media, does that surprise you? Did you think he had maturity issues, or is this par for the course?
I always liked Shedeur the player. I thought he was so tough in Colorado. I thought, you know, he took a lot of hits. He elevated that program. They were a couple games away from winning the Big 12. So today, I got to admit, is bizarre seeing that clip of him doing the mime thing and, you know, his frustration with Dylan Gabriel. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I've followed the Browns forever. He's going to get a chance to start at some point this year if the Browns quarterback track record means anything. So why not just do – that's like take the layup, right? Just say, hey, yeah, I hope Dylan does great. I'm here for him. We're going to help any way we can. Instead, it becomes a story that you and I are going to talk about.
Right, and that's exactly the problem. And my whole point is you're just giving people who don't like you all the necessary fodder in the world to, A, continue to not like you, and then, B, point a giant finger and say, see, this is why you're not starting in the NFL, because this is what you do, and you don't represent the organization the right way. So I agree with you. It's just an interesting tactic, to say the least.
So easy, and so easy to avoid. And I like Shedeur. I like how he played. I've always liked his touchdown to interception ratio. I like how he throws the ball down the field. He's a tough kid. And, you know, the pressure of being Deion's son, I understand all that. But you're just adding to something unnecessary. It's an unnecessary story, and these guys should know better.
Absolutely, 100%. All right, my friend, we will talk to you soon. We'll check you out in the sporting news. Make sure you check out Bill Bender's work there, one of the best in the biz. Appreciate you as always.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Take care.
Bill Bender there of the sporting news. When we get back, let's talk some more National Football League. Our buddy Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports is going to stop by. What does he think about the Falcons? Contender or pretender? Leading into our segment at 8 o'clock, where Oren and I will go over every team in the NFL and decide right now, while the Falcons are on the bye week, who is a contender and who is a pretender. Big football hour coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.